For a few moments this morning, I want to focus your attention in verse number 13 for the text that the Lord has dealt with our heart about. And I need every young man and every young lady and every young family to realize where I'm at and understand the direction that I'm going. In verse number 13, the Bible said, "Not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now we know the story that is before us, the parable of the lost son. And in this parable, we find out that a young man is at home with his mom and dad. And apparently his dad was a successful man. They have a farm. There's fields here. They have animals. And so it seems as if in this text that the father of this young man is a very productive man. He's worked hard. He's tried to gain some things in life. But all of a sudden, there's a young boy that comes up around all that's going on in the home, and he desires to get what he feels like is coming to him and leave the house and run away from home. And that's the story that's before us. And the Bible said that the dad gave this young man his inheritance and sent him on his way. Now, I can't help but believe that with this story in mind, that the father had no doubt probably tried to keep this young man at home, tried to do many things to try to rescue him from the direction that he had saw him going in, but he had spent all and tried to do everything he could to help him, and in that, he knew that this boy was bent on doing his own thing. And so there's no struggle, there's no talk, there's no contentious setting in this story. It's revealed unto us here that the father just gave him what he had coming to him and sent him on his way and let him leave. Now that seems kind of cold and callous, but that's what happened here in the story. You know the story, the boy takes his journey to this far country. And on that journey, he wasted a lot of things in his life. We preached about it, how he wasted his time. This young man wasted his thinking. Everything that he thought that he was missing out on when he was at the father's house. Everything that he thought that, you know, he was being deprived of. Amen. When he got to the far country and when sin got done with him and the devil got finished with him, he realized that all of his time and all of his effort in thinking about the pleasures of the world and the benefits of sin was all just a waste, because he ended up in the hog pen with nothing. This young man had threw away his treasure. Everything that his dad gave him, I'm sure it was significant enough that if it had been invested in a proper direction or used in a right way, that this boy probably could have a good life. But he just blew it. He just wasted it, throwed it in this direction, in that direction. He said, well, there's more where that came from. But he never expected a famine to come into the land. And, you know, he'd get $100 and go buy $110 pair of tennis shoes. He'd you know, maybe get a couple of $100 and go blow it at the arcade, go blow it at the restaurant. And he didn't have nothing, just like some of you young men do in this church and some of you young families do with the things that you earn each week from your labor. There's no concept whatsoever of what tomorrow may hold for you, and the fact that there may be trouble up ahead, and you better make for provisions and preparations for those troubles. But this young man never expected a famine, but a famine came. And he had wasted his substance with riotous living, and it was all thrown away. All of this young man's talents this period of time. I don't know what kind of abilities he may have had. I don't know what he could have done for the glory of God in the church. And I don't know what your gifts may be this morning. You may be able to sing. You may have an ability to play an instrument. You could do a great service to the will of God and to the church of the Lord Jesus. But this morning, all your talents in a far country are being thrown away and wasted. This young man wasted his life. And then we looked at how this young man wasted the trip. All those miles that he traveled when he left the father's house, every step down that old dirt road, every store that he passed and went in and threw a few coins, amen, to the merchant. I don't know, might have been an old beggar on the side of the road that he gave some money to. I don't know, he may have had a good heart when he left out, but he had a desire to live in sin. He had a desire to experience the pleasures of sin and the fun that this world says that they can give and offer you. But he all, amen, when it was all said and done, he wasted it. He wasted it on riotous living. We know that he wasted it in a far country. We preached about that here some time ago. This young man wasted his substance away from his parents, away from a man of God, away from the people of God. But the bottom line is that he wasted it all. He threw it all away. Every good thing that he had in his life, every potential that he possessed as an individual, all the opportunities that was given unto him, amen, was thrown away in just a few short days as he journeyed in darkness into this country. We talked about why he wasted it. He wasted it on his flesh and he wasted it, amen, on this far country and the influence of the world. Can I tell you something tonight or today? The world is pulling at you and the flesh is pulling at you and everything you think is best for you, amen, is not best for you. And everything this world offers you is not the best thing for you today. Do you know this morning that this world is at enmity with God? The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You fall in love with this world, and this world will waste your life. You fall in love with the flesh, and the flesh, when it's finished will leave you on the side of the road, desolate and abandoned and throwing your life away, amen. And that's what this young man done. I thought about this when I thought about who he was with, and I don't know what all this young man come in contact with outside of what's in the text. The Bible said that he had wasted his living with harlots and riotous living. I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing that's for sure. He didn't throw his life away alone. Amen. You know, it'd be one thing if a man just got out of church, got out of the will of God, or made a decision to leave his family or make some choices to use his life up, and he just took himself without anybody with him. And I'm going to tell you what, there are some people, I believe, that left with him. Now, they may have not left with the father's house with him, but I'll tell you what, on this journey, there are some people that joined up with him and went down the road with him. This man's not getting a bottle of a moonshine and crawling off in a cave and getting drunk by himself. This young man's not playing and flirting with sin all alone. He's got somebody with him. I'm going to tell you something. Are you listening to me this morning? You make a choice to go down the road of darkness and go down the path that leads you to a far country. You make the choice to leave, amen, of the things of God and righteous and holy things. There'll be people that'll leave with you. I've seen in the 25 years I've pastored this church, I've seen people get out of the will of God, and I've seen people leave with them. I told a young man last night, I said, boy, I prayed for you this week. Here's what I told him. I said, you better watch who you're covering up for, and you better watch who you're making your companions, amen, because people that get out of the will of God, people that are going to live in sin, people that have made choices to live an ungodly life, they don't want to do it alone. Oh no, they have no intentions of going at it alone, and so somebody will go with them. And I hope to God tonight that you got most more sense than to go with them. But these young men and young ladies that are with us this morning, they have a precious soul and they have a precious life. But I'll tell you what, most of the trouble they've got in, they didn't get into it all by themselves. Oh no, that's never the story. That's never the case. It's always about somebody else. I got with the wrong crowd. Well, I had a neighbor. Well, my brother or my cousin or my girlfriend or my boyfriend. And that's the story that's represented throughout this whole congregation. Amen. Nobody leaves and they leave alone. May I say to you that when this young man left, there's people that left with him. And then there was people that led him. Amen. After he got so far down the road, he had all this money and he probably couldn't figure out exactly what he was going to do with it all. Amen. And so I'm sure that there were some people said, hey man, come on over here. There's a place we can spend it right here. You got a $20 bill. You got a few coins. Let's go over here and have some fun. And they led him, amen, and began to govern the way he thought, began to direct the way he was going to take his life. And in doing so, he began to throw a coin here and throw a coin there. And he was having fun. And they were laughing with him. And they were patting him on the back. And they were saying, man, you're the greatest thing I ever knew. You're the best friend I've got. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful that we run across each other. They lusted with him. They had the same fleshly desires, the same natural affections, the same inordinate affections. Amen. They had the same lascivious ways. They fulfilled the same incontinent desires, appetites that seemed to reach beyond your control because you are governed by the flesh and you are governed by a natural mind. And that's exactly what happens to a man who leaves this atmosphere and heads down the road to a far country. But there were those that lusted with him. There were those that lied with him. L-I-E with him. Amen. Amen. You'd be amazed at the young people in this building that sat down and figured out what they were going to do and how they were going to do it and got people to back them up with falsehood and deceptiveness. You'd be amazed at the collaboration that's went on among young people in this church and in churches across America. And you'd be amazed, amen, Brother Cadre, how that these young men will sit around by themselves. And if they're going to get in trouble, you know what they'll do? They'll make sure they cover themselves. So if they're going to tell a lie, they got somebody that'll back their lie up.
Amen.
Oh yeah, that's just the way human beings work. That's the way sin is. That's the way the devil is. Are you listening to me? He had people that lied for him. I don't know how much trouble he got in, Brother Josh. I don't know how far he went, John, but he had somebody that would lie for him and cover for him and put a blanket on it and try to get him by his parents, try to even do everything they could to keep him out of trouble with the pastor, to keep him out of trouble with the authorities at hand, keep him out of trouble with society, try to keep them out of trouble. Oh no, that's really not the way it happened. All along they know exactly what happened, and he lies for him, and then he gets in trouble. He don't know how to handle it, and everybody's caught in falsehood and lies and wicked mindsets and ungodliness. I'm telling you, he had somebody lying with him. I'm plowing up dirt this morning. I hope somebody, amen, is listening to me. I'm telling you, they lied together. Let me say this, somebody laid with him, amen. There was some old harlot that laid in the bed with him, and he committed fornication, and he let his purity be snatched away in a moment of time, and he can never get it back. He lost things on this far, on this journey that a million worlds couldn't bring back to him. He threw his purity away. I'm not talking about a young lady that's lost her virginity. I'm talking about a young man that's lost his. Amen. Are you listening to me? He threw something away that he can never get back. He threw something away, amen, that all the blood that Jesus shed and all the forgiveness and mercy that God the Father can extend would never, never bring back. But when it's all said and done in this story, they may have left with him. They probably lied with him. They lusted with him. They laid with him. But there wasn't a one of them that loved him. There wasn't a one of them that cared for him. Listen to me. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to listen to me carefully. How the Bible said in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Look at verse 15 now. Pay attention to me. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I want to ask you something. Here he is with a stench of hog on him. Here he is with holes in his clothes. Here he is with his shoe soles wore out. Here he is starving to death, belly swelled up because he ain't got nothing to eat. He can't buy a sandwich. He can't buy nothing to drink. Hey, amen. I want to ask you something. Where's that crowd at that left with him? Amen. Hey, I want to ask you something. That crowd that was willing to enjoy the lust that he was enjoying on this journey to the far country, can you find them for me? Can you find them for me? I want to know what side of the fence they're on in the hog pen. I want to know if they're using a shovel or a rake to throw the hogs, the husk that they're eating. I want to know where that crowd is. I want to know where that young woman is that showed him affection and love and caressed him and run her hair, her hands through his hair and laid down in a bed with him and fornicated with him and probably whispered in his ear, there's never been nobody like you and I love you. And I want to spend my life with you. I wonder where she's at right here. Can anybody find this woman in the hog pen? Throwed it all away, throwed it all away, throwed it all away. And some of you are here this morning and you're throwing your life away piece by piece, day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour, month by month, year by year. There's been decisions you've made that has broke the heart of your mom and dad. There have been choices you made that has marred you and put a scar in your life. And I'm telling you this morning, you've thrown it away. You've thrown it away, and it's gone. Now we know the end of the story, that this young man came to himself, realized where he was at, and the Bible said he arose. I will arise and go to my father's house. That one phrase right there is what we can't seem to see happen in the lives of people in America. We got people that will arise and go to the altar. I've seen people, Miss Candace, arise and apologize to the church. I've seen people arise and go and try to make things right with individuals. I've seen people arise and pull money out of their pocket and try to put money in the offering to try to undo some things that they've done. I've seen people arise, McKinley, and do a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you, as a pastor of 25 years, son, I haven't seen very many people arise and go to the Father's house. Miss Allison, here's what I'm preaching on this morning for just a minute. I'm going to preach on for just a minute on what are you going to do with what you got left. That's what I want you to think about. You young men listening to me? I'm not an old guy. I may look old and decrepit and feeble, but I'm not so old that I don't know what it's like to be a young man and have to face the temptations and the allurements and all that goes along with being a young man. I know what young ladies have to deal with. And there's people in this building that are not in uniforms. You young men listen to me. There's young men lined up here in ties. And you know where they're at? They're the same place you're at. They just don't have a uniform on with Johnson written on it. They're just sitting on a pew with a tie. You listening to me? And really their name is Bradley and Joshua and John and Joseph. You listening to me? Their name is Caleb and Chance. Same people, same kind of people. And you know what they've done? Just like you have, they have wasted portions of their life. They have thrown things away. You listening to me? This man right here hadn't been saved all of his life. He is a drunkard before he got saved. You listening to me? And he couldn't live a million lifetimes to go back and undo all the years that he lived as a drunkard. You listening to me? This man right here testified to you this morning that he was a thief. Are you listening to me? And he'd steal you blind, take everything you had. And you know something? He couldn't go back in a million years and undo all those days that he wasted time and he wasted his life and he wasted his treasure and he wasted his mind. Are you listening to me? That man sitting right back yonder got about 10 kids. You listening to me? But before God saved him, had long hair, just an old hippie on dope and on drugs and without God. There's men right here got holes in their ear. Amen. Where they used to wear earrings and live ungodly. Amen. On dope, Brother Bobby. Didn't care nothing about nobody. Nobody but themselves. And days passed on, young lady. And weeks passed on. And months passed on. And years passed on, Brother Tarvin. And we threw parts of our life away. And we threw it away. We threw it away. We threw it away. Oh, but thank God there come a day when Jesus passed by and showed us where we were at and the condition that our soul was in and the hope that we could find if we could just some way, amen, run to the light, run to the light, run to the light, get out of a dark world that you're living in. Are you listening to me today? I'm telling you, God took what they had left and done great things, amen, for his name's sake and for the glory of God. I don't know how far you've been down the road this morning, but I know this, God is interested in what you got left. God is interested in what you got left this morning. God is interested in you taking the pieces of your life, amen, that he can put together and glorify his name and use you, amen, and magnify his name with what you got left. The question is this morning, Miss Autumn, what are you going to do with what you have left? Oh, my. I tell you what, my mind run through the Word of God. And I thought about Adam. All that Adam had in the garden. And he threw it away in a moment of time. And he could never go back and regain that fellowship with God. That sword went across the entrance of that garden. He was forbidden to go to the tree of life. And there's things that he was going to have to live with, earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. Miss Bethany, she's going to bring children in this world in sorrow. And I'm telling you, it looks like the world has come to an end. It looks like that everything that God wanted for his life has crumbled in a moment of time because of the choice that Adam made. But God come walking in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, where art thou? I'm interested, Adam, in where you're at. I know where you're at, Adam. But I want you to know that I'm interested in where you're at today. God's interested in where you're at. Adam's crawled off in a bush somewhere trying to clothe his nakedness and in shame. His innocence has been snatched away and he seems like he has no hope and he's afraid to face God. But God said, Adam, where art thou? I'm interested in where you're at. I'm interested in where you're at. And God slayed a lamb and clothed Adam and Eve. And he said, I know you've lost a lot. And he rebuked them for their sin. And he didn't undo the consequences of the sin that they had committed. But here's what he said. He said, I'll take what you got. Amen. Oh, God. He said, I'll take what you got left. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And he said, I'll produce a world, amen, from your relationship. You've lost all I wanted you to have, but I'll take what you got left, and I'll do something with it if you'll just obey me. Oh, yes, thank God. God is interested, young man, in what you have left. Young lady, God is interested in what you got left in your life. God can take it from this point forward and do great and marvelous things with it. God can take the rest of your life and do something for His honor. I could talk about Noah. You know, Noah built the ark, but the same Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord that built an ark also planted a vineyard and got drunk. I could talk about Abraham, a man that was a friend of God, that God would produce a seed that would be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. And I can find in the midst of a famine, Abraham going down into Egypt and getting out of the will of God and lying about Sarah, his wife. But yet God said, when he got right with him, he said, "You've lost some ground. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Now, sin's costly."
Yes, amen.
I don't know how long it was. I don't know how long it was when the time frame expired, when Lot went back to a place that he thought was like Egypt, which was Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham didn't get by with lying and taking Lot to Egypt. But God was interested in what he had left. I could think about David, and some of your minds are running through the scripture with me today. I could think about David, a man after God's own heart, the great psalmist of Israel, accomplished a murder, committed adultery. He didn't get by with his sin. But God took what David had left. I'm going to tell you something. God don't always pay on Friday. When David sinned and killed Uriah and committed adultery with Bathsheba, it took probably about 9 months for God to judge him, because God didn't have nothing that he felt worthy to judge him with until 9 months. But God, everything may be fine right now.
Right.
But God's not on your schedule, Brother Jim.
No, sir.
God will wait just as long as he needs to wait to get what he needs to judge you with.
Yep, that's exactly what
it is. But David had something left that God wanted. I could talk about the maniac of Gadara. I could talk about that man that's screaming and hollering in the tombs. His life is a mess. His world is wrecked. Amen. His family is destroyed. Are you listening to me? I could talk about that maniac this morning, and we could consider all of the things that he's thrown away in his life. But Jesus came to that shore. That old maniac probably done lost his family, lost his home, was a menace to society. But when Jesus stepped out there, he fell at his feet and the Lord touched him. The next time you see him, Johnny, he's clothed and in his right mind. And Jesus commissions him to be a witness and tell people of what great things the Lord hath done for thee. He said, "I'm going to tell you something. This little town here knows about you is what you've thrown away. All these people around here, all they know is what you've thrown away. But I want them to know that I'm interested in what you got left, amen. And I will take what you got left, and I will do with it, amen, what you can never in a million worlds imagine." I could talk about the leper. I could talk about the blind man. I could talk about the woman at the well. 5 husbands. You wouldn't give her the time of day. You'd say she's reprobate. She's done broke too many homes. God could never save her, because God would never save her. But Jesus went there. Can you imagine what she had left? She didn't have hardly anything left. She couldn't even show her face hardly in the town. She has wrecked home. She's got the name of a harlot. She's had 5 husbands and lived living with a man right now. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And he sat by that well that day, Brother James, hallelujah. And he touched that woman's life. And he said, I'm interested in what you've got left. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with what you got left? Here in the story before us, the prodigal son goes home. He don't have anything. He's wasted his substance with riotous living. He's lost it all. But when his daddy saw him afar off, he said, get the calf and kill it and get me a robe and a ring. My son that was lost now is found. And praise God, we're going to put some pieces together, get our home back together, and we're going to do something for God. I'm interested in what you got left. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with what you have left? You young ladies and young men this morning make some bad mistakes. You're in the midst of making bad choices. You're right in the middle of doing things that's going to throw away precious things in your life. And I'm trying to put the brakes on you and ask you what you're going to do with what you have left. Say, preacher, what do I have left? Well, you got a mind, don't you? Do you have a mind this morning? I'm talking about matter between your ears that's able to think. Do you know what you can do first this morning? You can renew your mind. You can be transformed this morning by the renewing of your mind according to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. That word renewed means to be reestablished, to replace some things, to restore, to rebirth some things in your mind, and to renovate some things. Can I tell you, young men and young ladies, something this morning and young families in this church? You're going to have to constantly live your life renewing your mind. The devil desires to set you on a path of thought. And if you're not willing to wake up and get out of that path of bondage and the thought process that you have developed in your mind, your children are not going to make it. You got a heart, haven't you? Everybody still got a heart. You're living, got a purpose. You can repent. That heart and that mind can be renewed. That heart can repent this morning. You can stop this morning. You can stop the ball from rolling in the direction that you have allowed it to roll in. You can stop it right now. This morning, you can put a halt to it. But it's going to take a heart with a purpose to do something with the rest of your life that's meaningful and fulfilling to glorify the Lord. You got members, don't you? That same hand that reaches out for a cigarette or a bottle of dope or a needle or a liquor bottle, that same hand that reaches out in a lust and a sensual way, that same hand can reach over here and take a gospel track and hand it to some old sinner and say, let me tell you what Jesus done for me. I was upstairs in the cabin praying this week and trying to study, get ready to preach, and Brother Matthew Morgan had two guys down there putting in a heater, and he had been waiting for an opportunity to witness to him, and I'd gotten out of the way. And he asked them if they went to church anywhere, started the conversation. And he began to talk to him about what the Lord had done for him when God saved him out of a life of drunkenness and sin and shame. I'm going to tell you what, that same mouth that used to curse, that same mouth that put its lips to a bottle of liquor, that same mouth, amen, this cussed and told filth and perverted things, that same mouth, are you listening to me? God took what he had left in his life and he told them old boys about the Lord Jesus and what God had done for him when he saved him by his grace. That same mouth that you've said ungodly things with, that you've said ungodly things with, that same mouth that has directed conversation away from the gospel, that same mouth can tell people of Jesus and his love. Those same lips can offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That same mouth can worship the Lord. You listen? You probably got more left than you think. The devil wants to put you in a place like he put this young man to make you think that you just don't have anything left for God. But you got a mind, a heart, you got eyes that can focus on spiritual things and on the Word of God. You got ears that can hear. I guess the question is this morning, what are you going to do with what you have left? Oh, we could stand here and we could all moan and groan and cry and weep and sing about wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. And we would be right. There's people here. It's not right with God. There's people in this building that wouldn't dare go down the road that I've preached about in the way of sinfulness. But their attitude and their heart's not right with God. They're not right with the people of God in this church. They're not focused on the work of God. They're not interested in the things of God. They don't come to church to worship. They don't come to church, amen, to get in the service and be an example to a younger generation. Let them know there's... If all these young people knew about joy as a child of God was seen in you, what would they see? See nothing but despair and hopelessness is what they would see. But I want you to look at me. I want everybody in this building to look at me for just one moment. I'm tired. I really am. Last Sunday, I preached twice just like I preached right now. I traveled about 7 hours Monday morning, and I preached every night for probably an hour and a half. And I went home with my socks drenched with water every night. I got into Murfreesboro at 2 o'clock yesterday morning and quiz mastered for countless hours. Drove home, come back, and helped these fellas get the bus in order to go get the Bluegrass Challenge program. Went home and spent an evening with my wife. Got up this morning, and I'll be honest with you, I was tired. And I could have called on somebody to preach this morning, and nobody would have thought anything about it because I've been preaching all week, and I'm wore out. But I want to tell you something. There's no greater joy in this world. No greater joy in this world than taking what you have and letting God do something with it. Now, I don't know what kind of choices that you made. I don't know what kind of decisions you made yesterday. I don't know what you might have said last week. I don't know what's in question with your testimony, character, or life. I don't know how far you've gone. But I know God's interested in what you've got left. I will arise and go to the Father's house. That's our problem, Josh. Always stand up, say a lot of things, do a lot of things, turn over a lot of new leaves. Miss Bethany, it just seems like that nobody wants to have enough sense to get up and go to the Father's house. Because it's there that the robe is and the ring and the calf has been slain.
Amen.
And the purpose is renewed and restored with what pieces of your life you still have left.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I've done some very, very bad things in my life. I can show you a Bible character that's done worse. I can show you a Bible character that's done worse. Lot lost his whole family in Sodom and Gomorrah. God's interested in what you got left. Before I go any further, I need to remind you of just a few people and I'm done. Cain. Cain wasn't interested in using what he had left to serve God. Lot's wife, she wasn't interested in taking what she had left. So God turned her into a pillar of salt when she looked back at Sodom. You can read it in your Bible, gentlemen, ladies. Esau failed of the grace of God. You know why? He wasn't interested in taking what he had left and serving God. You listening? The list could go on. But don't be like those. You know, there's probably not a man in the Bible more fleshly oriented with any more potential than Samson. Samson had unbelievable potential, but he was consumed with the flesh. But I don't know what happened or when it happened or all that took place, but you'll read about Samson in Hebrews 11 as one of the heroes of faith. Samson didn't have much left. They'd cut his hair off. That was his strength. They'd singed his eyeballs out of his head. He couldn't see. But he longed for the day when God would take what little bit he had left and use it. What do you have left?